This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Great show so far on a Wednesday. Thanks for making us a part of your morning routine, wherever you may be watching or listening. We appreciate you so much. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis. Moose with us through the end of the week as Super Dave Ross makes his way back to the Kentucky-Tennessee border. Dave has filed some Genesis Scottish Open plays we will touch on in Best Bets upcoming. But right now, another full day on the Diamond. That's where we start today's edition of the Daily Diamond. All right, before we get to what we see today, we do need to mention, and it does have to do with Dave's Mets yesterday. Moose, we've seen some ridiculousness this year with the Meet the Mess issue. We saw it again yesterday. A remarkable comeback by the Kansas City Royals. They won 16-12, and helping really fuel that comeback attack is a kid by the name of Tyler Tolbert. He became the third player with consecutive five-hit games since 1900, joining Roberto Clemente, who did it in 1970, as well as Hi Myers, who did it in 1917. He also tied a major league record for consecutive at-bats with a hit with 12 consecutive at-bats. With a hit, Moose, and a big reason why the Royals were able to come back 16-12, they end up beating the Mets at Citi Field yesterday.
I mean, embarrassing. I mean that is just, I mean, the Royals have scored 31 runs in their last two games. It is insane what Kansas City has been able to do, but it's remarkable. The Mets at one point in time led that game 9-2, and they end up losing the game 16-12. You thought maybe the Mets were going to build off a little bit of momentum, winning the back two games against the Atlanta Braves, especially with that big ninth inning home run by Juan Soto. And unfortunately, you have a game in which you thought you had it right where exactly where you wanted it. And here comes Kansas City. I mean, just that's why you love baseball. Sometimes you never know what you're going to see on any given day. And last night when the Melusis household were flipping around between the Mets and the Yankees and watching a little Yankee baseball down in Tampa, a little Mets baseball home against Kansas City, and the Mets are winning that game, didn't foresee Kansas City coming all the way back. And, you know, after being down 9-2, winning that game 16-12, just remarkable, Jensen.
I almost regretted betting Kansas City live at plus $1.35 when they took the early lead. And then I just turned around. I was like, oh, that happened? Okay, well, that one's done. One of the lone bets I was able to get home last night. Tough night on the diamond. It has been few and far between, fortunately. We have been so profitable ROI-wise on our baseball bets, one of our best sports here. So haters be damned. We're going to have some of those days where it just doesn't go our way. So the public cashes last night. But if you've been tailing me since opening day, you are very much in profitable territory. We're looking to get back there today. Only one day game or afternoon game, depending on where you may be tuning in here, Mark. It is a good one, though, out in the Bay Area. Series finale between the Blue Jays and the Giants. It will be Dylan Cease against Logan Webb. And right now, Dylan Cease, the second betting choice to Cam Schlittler in the American League Cy Young race. Now, I would caution people that traditionally, when you look at the Bay Area, especially in San Francisco, day games, the ball plays a little differently in the air than it does for night games. However, as I look at where some of the numbers are at this point, I don't think there's a real bettable angle initially. I will wait to see where lineups are as far as the total goes. But I would kind of harken back to some of the momentum that's been created here for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think they're able, after the win they got last night, to maybe keep this going a bit. Logan Webb, always a tough customer. But to me right now, hold off on the total. I think there is a little bit of value on the money line for the Toronto Blue Jays. They got to turn it around here at some point. And hopefully behind Dylan Cease, who has been remarkably good for them this year, they're able to do that. I do want to take you to a couple of games that I had circled. And of course, one that I'm sure you will have in your household tonight. It is Gerrit Cole against Shane McClanahan, game three of the Yankees and the Rays series. It was the Yankees behind Can Schlittler in game one, getting a resounding victory. It was the Rays in comeback fashion last night, being able to get the series equalizer. Right now, a little moving day, if you will. This is a four game series. So today and tomorrow, but 6:40 p.m. first pitch, Gerrit Cole, Shane McClanahan. Any takes right now on what should be a really good pitching matchup between these two tonight?
It should be. I think what version of Gerrit Cole are you going to get? Velocity has not been an issue, just has not had the late life on the fastball. You know, if you've not been following him from start to start, right? So has not been getting the swings and the misses when you're looking at it. Now it's a work in progress, right? He was out of baseball for 18, 19 months after undergoing Tommy John surgery. Yankees aren't necessarily concerned about, you know, a June or July start. They want to make sure that Gerrit Cole is rip-roaring, ready to go come October. So that's the thing that you have to take note of. I don't disagree on paper. Clearly, obviously, two upper echelon starters, really good pitching matchup between the Rays and the Yankees. Rays obviously have been really, really good at home this season. I think their mark is 32-12, I believe it is, on the year is what Tampa has been at home. Yankees finally, as an American League East team, won down at the Trop. But I think for Cole here, I think what you want to see early on in this game, and maybe you take a little bit of a wait and see approach, is he has not been as aggressive. It was something that if you go two starts back, you know, against the Boston Red Sox up at Fenway Park, retired nine of his last 11 batters. Early on in that game, he wasn't aggressive and got knocked around. I think you'll know early on just how crisp and how sharp Gerrit Cole is. And if he's aggressive in the strike zone, if he's got a little bit of late life on that fastball, and listen, it's not the radar gun. It's just that he's not getting the prototypical strikeouts that you see from Gerrit Cole. So it's not exploding through the strike zone. So that's the issue there. I would lean more Tampa due to the uncertainty from Cole right now in terms of exactly what you're going to get.
Totally agree. The numbers back you up there too. Tampa Bay, the best team in baseball as a home favorite this year, 23-7. 23-7, the Rays are as a home favorite, which they are again, a little $1.22 at Circa, seeing upwards of $1.30 in some of the other sportsbook markets. A good one down at Great American Ballpark tonight because of who's on the mound for Cincinnati. That's Chase Burns, who will be an all-star here this year. Going up against Philadelphia, Philly has not named a starter just yet here, Moose. I don't know if it really matters at this point because they've been about as red hot as it gets. They closed to within two games of the top spot in the National League East with the Braves getting pummeled by the Pirates yesterday. They've now lost three in a row, seven of their last 10. Philly gets a win in the series opener against the Reds yesterday. They are now 10 games over 500. Let me get your thoughts on where we are, just big picture from the Philly standpoint. As far as this matchup tonight, not really seeing anything popping in the betting splits. That total is at 9. But what do we look at now with Donnie Baseball leading this resurgent Philly team into the end of the first half?
Yeah, I mean, it's been remarkable. And love Mattingly. I mean, I do. And, even though I'm not from Philadelphia, don't really, you know, there's the natural New York-Philadelphia rivalry. Happy for all the success for Mattingly down there with the Phillies, Jensen, to be honest with you. I think they're going to be a dangerous team. You know, they dealt with the struggles early on. They got rid of Rob Thompson. They brought in Mattingly, who was on his staff as interim manager. Team has looked decidedly different. I think you look at Dombrowski as their general manager. I think he's going to be aggressive at the MLB trade deadline and add to this veteran-oriented team. You've kind of flipped roles or scripts here in the National League East between the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves. The Braves are holding on for dear life based on what we've seen from them at this point in time. You're looking at this matchup against the Cincinnati Reds. Listen, the Reds aren't particularly good. Francona did a remarkable job with them a year ago. They got off to a decent start, but they won a lot of one-run games. And even Francona, in an interview that I saw with him, is saying, well, you know, some of that is going to, you can't win as many one-run games as they were winning at the start of the season for Cincinnati. But Burns is a hell of a starter. But as you mentioned, Jensen, I don't know if it necessarily matters right now when you're looking at the Philadelphia Phillies. And regardless of who gives it a go tonight, with the way that they're playing, how they started, and they've been right there as being one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball for the better part of the last 7-8 weeks.
For what it's worth, if you are looking to back the Reds with Chase Burns tonight, minus $1.43 on the money line of what I'm seeing here at DraftKings. The Reds are only 8-8 as a home favorite, but good news, Philadelphia is a road underdog, 5-10. So maybe a sneaky spot to back the Reds, who it has been a dismal season and then some. It has been decidedly one-sided in this Brewers and Cardinals series. Remember, they're playing 5 games in 72 hours. Day-night doubleheader yesterday, a sweep by the Brewers. They have won the first 3 games in this 5-game series. It's Kyle Harrison against Michael McGreevy here at Busch Stadium, 7:45 p.m. Eastern. First pitch. I got to tell you, I was a little shocked that the Miz gave up a couple of homers yesterday in game one. It didn't matter. Comeback fashion for the Brewers. They blow out the Cardinals in the nightcap. Maybe we get some run suppression, tired legs, tired arms after a lot of baseball in 48 hours here, Moose. Kind of like the under, if you can find an 8.5 here, I think that would be a way to go. Still comfortable with the 8. But boy, Cardinals need a win badly to try and avoid what could potentially be a 5-game sweep if they can't get this one across the line.
Yeah, which would be tough to take. I mean, it really would be. And the Brewers are red. I mean, the Brewers have been great. They've been great all season long. After, I mean, I shouldn't say all season. They struggled a little bit early on, but they're one of those teams we talked about earlier in the week, Jensen. You know, are they going to go out there and add where Mizorowski now is in that Cy Young race? And obviously, he's got a decided lead in terms of the betting markets there, right? It was, as we checked the odds yesterday, I think it was right around 4-1. So the Brewers are one of those teams where you look at the lineup, you say, well, how exactly are they doing it? They're just a really fundamentally sound team that does a lot of things that equates to wins, and they've got really good pitching. So give Milwaukee a ton of credit. I think you've seen the separation between them and St. Louis in this series, and the Cardinals are trying to save face as best as they can.
We will also save some face with some stock up, stock down. What do we like? What do we don't? And yes, two major league teams I like going in different directions. That is next on VSiN by the Books.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Well, no shortage of betting opportunities this summer. Obviously, daily Major League Baseball, the World Cup, and the countdown to football season, meaning perfect segue into our football special at VSiN. Just $179 gets you full VPro access through the Super Bowl. That includes our current NFL betting guide to help attack your futures, your win totals, division races, the upcoming season. We will have the NFL betting guide 2.0 coming out once the preseason is completed. You also get all the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on VSiN Watch app, and of course, coverage of every major sport all year long. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis alongside Mark the Moose Melusis. We know what we like. We know what we don't. That means it's time for stock up and stock down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's stock up, stock down.
Okay, Mark, as the visiting team, you get to bat first. Who are we taking deep here to start stock up, stock down?
No, oh, we talked about earlier, Lionel Messi and Argentina for stock up. I mean, what a performance yesterday down in Atlanta. That's why you love sports. It really is. You feel bad for Egypt. I mean, they're heartbroken. They played a wonderful match. They really did. But, you know, just the style and nature, the World Cup has always hit. You watch a little afternoon soccer on a Tuesday and down in Atlanta and you get an unbelievable comeback by Argentina. and the greatest of all time with the equalizer to knot it up at two, as that basically they almost took the roof off the Mercedes-Benz Dome down there in Atlanta. I mean, it was just unbelievable. So stock up for me. Got to lead the way. Lionel Messi in Argentina.
I'm with you. Let's parlay right off of that. I'm just going to take the broader World Cup stoppage time scoring. I mean, it has been unbelievable to see how many results. Like, you think your bet is close to getting across the line? None yet. It changes at the death of some of these matches. Yesterday, a perfect example. The first time in World Cup history here, Mark, that a team, that in Argentina, had won a knockout match in regulation time after trailing by two goals in the 75th minute, and they scored three, including the game winner in stoppage time, to survive in advance to the quarterfinal round. Just the dramatics, as Marty Scorsese has in the meme, absolute cinema. That's what it's been here. So stock up, World Cup stoppage time. What do you have next?
I'm going to go with the Philadelphia 76ers with Jaylen Brown with the stock being up. We talked about Brad Stevens meet with the media, Chisholm, the Celtics owner as well, and you know, won a basketball decision, had nothing to do with money. Stevens talking about having to do with money and the fact that he can't go out there and have the salary cap eaten up by two players with he and Tatum. Tatum coming out saying he's going to miss his era, but proud of the time that he spent with Jaylen Brown. But if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, like, you look at the marketplace right now and is looking at win totals, like the 76ers 46 and a half regular season wins, you're still getting plus money at plus 105. Like, to me, that's a solid bet. Now you might say, well, I mean, they've got Embiid on the team. Yeah, but this is no longer Embiid reliant. When I've got VJ Edgecombe, when I've got Maxey, I've got Jaylen Brown, I added Dean Wade from the Cleveland Cavaliers during the offseason. Nick Nurse is a really good head coach. I think the 76ers are going to have themselves a pretty good regular season. So Jaylen Brown's got a little extra motivation. You could take the analytics guys and stick them where the sun don't shine, because he's going to go out there who averaged nearly 30 points per game a year ago, Jensen, and say to yourself, well, you know, I'm going to put on a show. And anytime you get a really talented player and he's got a little extra chip on his shoulder, I would expect Jaylen Brown, who plays all the time, to have a really good year. So stock up to me for Jaylen Brown and the Sixers.
Brother, great minds think alike, and the brotherly love will continue in that city. Philadelphia, stock up for me as well. You mentioned the 76ers making the big blockbuster deal. How about the Philadelphia Phillies just ascending in the National League East? They've closed within two games of the Atlanta Braves for the top spot in that divisional race. And oh, by the way, guess where we're having the All-Star game? Yes, right there in Citizens Bank Park next week to celebrate 250 years of these great United States. They have pulled out all the stops for what looks like to be an incredible celebration just miles from the Freedom Bell right there. So cannot wait to see the show that the City of Brotherly Love puts on. Philadelphia, stock way up. Okay, a couple of things that we don't like. Maybe stock is trending down. Mark, what do you have?
Yeah, the Yankee lineup. They had 17 strikeouts last night down in Tampa. I mean, think about that, Jensen. Like, I'm happy Ben Rice is going to be part of the home run derby and easy guy to root for. And, you know, there's still no timeline of when Giancarlo Stanton's going to make his return. Boone talked about that a couple nights ago down in Tampa. He's not even running anymore. Like, you're not going to see Aaron Judge. I mean, the Yankees are hoping for middle part of the month of August. We'll see with that rib fracture if Judge is back at that point in time. I understand we're in today's day and age of analytics and the, you know, the three true outcomes, and strikeouts are not really poo-pooed upon and nobody cares about batting average anymore, Jensen. But I got to be honest with you, when you're watching a baseball game and guys fail to make contact and strike out 17 times in the course of a loss down in Tampa, that is tough to watch. So I'm going to take the Yankees stock down is the Yankee lineup, even after a game one win down in Tampa with their performance last night against the Rays in the Trop.
All right, we have, speaking of that New York life, we do have a bonus stock up to give you from our great Jefe, Steve Cohen, texting in saying, how about stock up Jalen Brunson? Played with a torn tendon in his left wrist during the playoffs, won a championship in the finals MVP, and he's now out 6 to 8 weeks. Hashtag Warrior. He did make a trip to go watch some World Cup matches this week. So, quick and healthy recovery here for Jalen Brunson. It has not been a recovery here for the Cincinnati Reds. This was a team that last year Dave and I really liked. They found their way to the postseason. You felt that they were going to carry that momentum into this year. And yes, the injuries to their rotation notwithstanding, I get it. You lose Hunter Green the way that he started this year. He is now finally back, but a lot that they had to overcome. Nick Lodolo and the blister issue. If not for Chase Burns, this team could have been sunk really early in the season. Andrew Abbott has been great. But man, Mark, you had a lot left to be desired for this lineup. They bring back one of the favorites in Eugenio Suarez. It just has not been a lineup that has hit on all cylinders. Ellie De La Cruz, yeah, had an MVP start to this year, but there really hasn't been a consistent supporting cast for this group. So you hate to see it. You're probably going to have some of these assets shipped off here in a month's time, because there will be some people calling about some of the back end bullpen arms, if not some of the rotation players there. But stock down for me on a team that you kind of thought was going in the right direction. They've got a Hall of Fame manager. It just was not there for them here, and I don't think it will be in the second half of the season. All right, final stock down for you, Moose. Who do you have?
Yeah, Christian Pulisic and the United States men's national team. We talked about a little bit earlier on in the show, and what you thought he was isn't exactly what he is. He's still been really good, and no one's denying that, where the state of the United States men's soccer ended with a thud, and people are looking at it being now the World Cup was a disaster, even as everybody was singing, you know, the John Denver song, you know, Country Roads, you know, and echoing it throughout this great country. But the fact is Pulisic was terrible throughout the course of the World Cup, was terrible against Belgium before he got hurt, didn't have the impact that a lot of people thought. No doubting that how good of a player he is. He's just not on the caliber of what we thought he was going to be 7-8 years ago. So stock down on Christian Pulisic, the star for the United States men's national team.
Okay. I usually am someone that brings up a stock down about etiquette, about logic, about people just not knowing what to do and doing the right thing. Moose, thank God we have the NFL in this country, because the tackling, at least you get some pads and a helmet to protect yourself. And I can understand when guys take some time to get up after some brutal blindside hits. The flopping of international soccer players is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in competitive sports. It is just like, oh, you get your foot stepped on, and I get it. There's cleats. I get it that, you know, there's not a lot of a protection in some of those spots, but it almost looks like you get a drive-by nick of a guy, maybe has a shoulder into you a little bit. We're not talking about forearm shiver that we see for a quarterback and he gets jackknifed into the ground. These guys should enter for Oscar awards every year. Some of the flopping is the most ridiculous stuff I have ever seen, and not needed. When you're rolling around on the ground after someone breathed on you and you felt that you got hit in a way that was ridiculous, I can't stand that crap. It's one of the worst things I've seen. And that's the one part of the World Cup and even international soccer period that we need to get rid of. If you go down and you flop, you should be suspended. That deserves a red card. Not what Flo Balogun had. That's not. That's one of those ancillary things. It happened. They were both going for the ball. You flop. You deserve a red card. Get the hell out of here. I don't need to see it anymore. That ends my TED Talk. All right. So best bets upcoming here. We will have some moves in a market here in the World Cup. We also have Dave, who has got his plays for the Genesis Scottish Open, and another great email from a viewer that will absolutely warm your heart. That in best bets and more next.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
If you're betting at Circa Sportsbook, for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with cryptocurrency using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com, that's B-U-R-R-A, BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at the Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. BurraPay transaction fees are waived as part of this campaign, but standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. Back with the Moose, Mark Melusis, Jensen Lewis with you here on VSiN by the Books. Again, I want to thank everyone that has emailed the show so far, buythebooks@vsin.com. We have gotten so many fantastic responses from people. And one that I did want to highlight, this from Rick Oliver. Rick is 72 years young and emailed us yesterday. He said, Jensen, interested in your comparison of profit loss versus your large unit bets. And small unit bets, which side has performed better? I watch your show every morning. It is helping me become a better bet manager. Can't wait for the football season to start. He gives us a hell yeah and an oorah. And also, he wanted some college football commentary. Rick, we gave you, we get a little too early look at the Heisman race for you. So hopefully you got a lot out of that segment, as did we. Again, any of your thoughts, questions, anything you want us to tackle here on the show, please do not hesitate to email us again, buythebooks@vsin.com. So thanks to Rick and everyone else who has contacted us. It has been great feedback so far. And we look forward to more of your thoughts, your big bets, and some of your tough losses. And that's a perfect segue, Moose. If you are a prediction market player or wagerer, boy, do we have some news for you. Over the weekend, of course, everyone just inundated with that match between Mexico and England. If we look at Kalshi, they had a historic loss for retail bettors. Upwards of $32.5 million after fees.
Wow.
And that was because a lot of those retail bettors had bet on Mexico to advance over England. Now, obviously, the backstory of that is because Mexico has been such a fortress playing at the Azteca there. But because of the wagering, both pre-match and in live betting there on Mexico, not only to advance, but also another $2.2 million after fees were lost by retail bettors on the 90-minute plus stoppage time result being Mexico. And so when England advance, it's the largest loss for retail bettors in Kalshi's history of what they've had on that sporting event. So that is incredible. And then just with the Belgium and United States result, it was the third largest loss for retail bettors. I think upwards, and I'll find the number here, right around $13.1 million. The third worst retail bettor outcome in Kalshi's history when the United States lost to Belgium. Just incredible how this has captivated so many different bettors, not only in retail sports books, but also on the prediction markets. So Mark, wanted to throw that out there. I can't believe some of the numbers here that have been wagered worldwide on some of these soccer matches, but the Mexico-England result, by virtue of England advancing and it not having a result in the 90-minute plus stoppage time, the largest loss by retail bettors in Kalshi's history. Just crazy to wrap your head around.
Well, no doubt. And, you know, you first off, holiday weekend, right? 8 o'clock. Got pushed back to 9 due to the lightning, right, down in Mexico City. You know, two great, you know, soccer nations. Mexico is home. You mentioned the dominance at Stadio Azteca, right? It does, you know, kind of put a little bit of a blemish on this World Cup that none of the three host nations have moved on to the quarterfinals. Canada eliminated, Mexico eliminated, United States was eliminated by Belgium on Monday night. But you can understand that. And as many backers as the English have, and obviously Mexico, the belief was they were home and the dominant 7,300 feet above sea level, that they were going to find a way, especially as that match developed. Imagine if you had Mexico and all of a sudden you find out, you know, the final 30 plus minutes England's down a man and you're down a goal and still you can't score as England parked the bus. I mean, that had to be infuriating. Now, listen, I was going for the Three Lions, so we were pumping our fist in the Malusis household. So I was at hold. It was like basically like Mel Gibson. Hold, kick the ball down the field. So it was amazing to watch, but that says a lot in terms of where the World Cup is and really, you know, how it has captivated the imagination, not only of the viewer, but the betting markets as well. And the bettors around this country too.
Yeah. Gosh, 32 and a half million after fees, of course, there on Kalshi, the largest loss there by retail bettors in Kalshi's history. 29.3 million of that went to the market makers. So what a result that was for Mexico to fall and England to advance there into the quarterfinal. Okay, I know you've got some plays on the diamond today. You want to get out to people. A couple of spots, including that the lone afternoon game we have on the slate. Blue Jays finishing up their series against the Giants in the Bay Area. What do you have?
Yeah, I'm going to take Dylan Cease and Toronto laying the $1.20 this afternoon in San Francisco against the Giants. And listen, Webb not good in his first start in July, but you look at the month of June for the San Francisco Giants, I think his ERA was 0.8 in June. So Logan Webb was really, really good for the Giants. I'm going to take the Blue Jays, though. Cease has been really good. You mentioned in terms of he's behind Cam Schlittler and rightfully so in the AL Cy Young betting markets. But give me the Blue Jays this afternoon laying the $1.20. I'm going to take the Mets later on tonight. Christian Scott, you know, I had him earlier on. I had him last week when he didn't give you all that good of a performance previous start against the Atlanta Braves. I'm going to come back with it after the crazy score we saw last night, 16-12 final to the good for Kansas City, where he had said 28 runs scored in a major league game. Not much pitching, a lot of offense. I think it comes back home the roost. Positive pitching matchup. Give me Christian Scott and the New York Mets later on tonight, laying the $1.48. And I think we're going to get runs once again. I think it was 16 total yesterday, 12-4 final between the Braves and the Pirates. I went over the 8. That was victorious yesterday. I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to take over the 9. It's juiced slightly to the over at minus $1.18, but I'm going to take over between Atlanta and Pittsburgh over 9 runs.
Yeah, that started at 9. Total was bet down to 8.5 there between Atlanta and Pittsburgh. And just about 7:30 Eastern time during our show into the 8 o'clock hour, that has moved back up to 9. So it looks like people are respecting Mark Malusis's wagering dollar here and seeing where that goes. So the market, we have a market mover on the show here as the Moose likes the over there. I'm with you. If you can find an 8.5, that might not be a bad number to get in pocket. Interested to see how Atlanta is able to try and bounce back. Boy, it has been very tough sledding for them. They get punched right in the mouth yesterday. And with the Phillies win, Philadelphia now just 2 games back when Atlanta had run away and hit early on with a fabulous start. Injuries have really derailed them here the last handful of weeks. We'll see if they can hold off Philadelphia here to finish the first half of the regular season. Okay, it's 2 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning when the Genesis Scottish Open will tee off. I will be getting in, I believe, on a handful of plays here later on today. So if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, you will have those in pocket once I make those selections. I mentioned to you that Dave was able to submit on his way home some of the plays that he has. And traditionally here on a Wednesday Moose, he gives us 2 players to watch. Those 2 are Tom McKibben and Patrick Reed. He does like Tom McKibben for a top 20 finish at plus 350. Also looking at Patrick Reed at a pretty bomb play here as the top American, 28-1. Now, remember, we do have Scottie Scheffler in this tournament. We do have Xander Schauffele and a couple of the big boys, Wyndham Clark, Chris Goddard, a couple of the shorter odds as far as the outright win market as Americans that will be in this Genesis Scottish Open. But he does like Patrick Reed at a 28-1 long shot price to be the top American. He's also looking at Sungjae Im at 7-1 to be the top Asian. Robert McIntyre, the old lefty there, some links play. He's 33-1 to win the tournament, but Dave likes him at a 16-1 price to be the top European. And one head-to-head tournament prop right now, Brooks Koepka plus $1.55 over JJ Spawn. So if you're looking to jump in on some of those plays and tail Super Dave Ross, that is what he has currently in pocket. Those plays will be up for VSiN Pro subscribers later on today. So I'll kind of circle the wagons here a little bit this afternoon. No World Cup to be inundated with. Tell you what, Moose, we've needed to catch our breath, especially what we saw yesterday over the weekend. It has really lived up to the billing and then some. We get the quarterfinal back underway, or at least underway, I should say, tomorrow. That'll be France, and that will be Morocco to kick things off. We will kick off our analysis of the Genesis Scottish Open with our Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds. He joins us next right here at VSiN by the Books.
The Books, right here on VSiN.
Fabulous Wednesday so far here at VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Malusis. Super Dave Ross will be back with us next week. He has already put in some of his plays for the Genesis Scottish Open. Our Wednesdays with Wes is appointment viewing and listening. Wes Reynolds joining us here on the Progressive guest line. Again, our great VSiN betting analyst, host of the Long Shots podcast. Give him a follow on X at WesReynolds1. Buddy, I know you're still recovering from the whole Ben Cole snafu last week. I say this humbly. I was the beneficiary with a Chris Goddard up ticket. We put that in the past. We head across the pond, and now we get the dress rehearsal for the Open next week. Your thoughts as we kind of enter what will be one of those tune-ups and those final ones, not only for the Americans coming over, but also the Euros that have already made their way there.
Yeah, Jensen, we're on to Scotland. We put the John Deere behind us. That was a tough one to take, but you do this, you're gonna have him go both ways for you, and didn't go our way with Ben Coles there on 18 Sunday. But on to Scotland, really good field this week, despite the fact this is not a signature event. This is a co-sanctioned PGA Tour, DP World Tour event. So half the players in the field are from the DP World Tour and pretty much regulars. But, you know, some interesting names in this field, of course, at the top with Scotty and Rory. But a rare occurrence where we get guys from LIV that are playing this week. John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, a few others are playing because they get into the DP World Tour, paid their fines, I guess, and everything's copacetic on that end. So kind of a rare occurrence other than a major where you get those guys competing this week. But they are at Renaissance Golf Club. They're in Scotland before they go to Birkdale next week. And, you know, this course depends on how the weather is going to be. I know that sounds like Mr. Obvious when you get to that part of the world this time of year, but it really does. You've seen scoring be pretty difficult when the wind is blowing substantially because this is linksy, it's pretty wide open, but you'll get tough scoring, but you might get some easy scoring too. You've seen 20 under win this thing before, you know, if the wind's not blowing. The forecast looks relatively on the clear side for this time of year, but could obviously change. So you just worry a little bit about the draw bias here, but the modeling is pretty straightforward.
Wes, when you look at the top of the betting market, and obviously Scotty leads the way sitting there at 6-1, what's your take on Scheffler here in the Scottish Open?
Yeah, he should play well, Mark. I mean, he's going to play well, I think, every week. I was looking back to where he has last won. I think it's been about 24 weeks now since he has last won. So I guess you could call that a slump, but considering he has four runners up in that time and has never finished below, I believe, 24th in any tournament. So you just wonder, okay, when is it going to be that week? But we've been wondering for a few months now. It's like, when is that going to be that week? So did not play him this week. Now you're starting to see him get to 6-1 in that area. You're just seeing that price kind of slowly tick up a little bit, you know, because he was 350, and then he was 4-1, and then he was 450, and then he was 5-1. So you're kind of slowly seeing that tick up with Scotty. And then, of course, Rory right behind. Rory has won this event before, was runner-up last year, but Rory hasn't played since the U.S. Open. He's been playing a very, I think, light schedule this year where he's missed a few signature events. So Is he going to be a little rusty, not playing for a month? So was willing to take a stand against those leaders, at least on the odds board this week.
Yeah, certainly. So let's go kind of where you went at the top of your card here. Tommy Fleetwood, we know, has always thrived in these situations back home, if you will, in air quotes. And then Wyndham Clark, who's been on a heater here, man. What a finish that he had the last couple of weeks. Of course, your U.S. Open champion now. Your two names there and how you got to both those guys to start off your outright card.
Yeah, Jensen, Tommy doesn't really, I guess, fit the recent profile of winners here at Renaissance because he's not the biggest hitter off the tee, but he's always played well here. I think he's kind of starting to peak a little bit. You know, he's getting more consistent finishes, and this is the time of year where I thought he was going to peak because Birkdale, of course, next week, that's in Southport, England, which is essentially his hometown. I don't think there'll be any look ahead here with the consistent form he's got. A couple top fives in his last six events, and like I said, peaking at the right time, and nobody's peaking more than Wyndham Clark, who I thought is getting maybe a little bit ignored behind the top guys on the odds board this week with so many top players in the field. But two wins, a third, a fifth, and an 11th in his last five starts. So I think he's going to continue riding this heater. I think the caddy change has been good for him, despite the fact that it's the same thing on every shot as we heard on the mics at the U.S. Open. You know, the good process, you know, but it has been a good process for Wyndham Clark. And he's got linked pedigree here, too. 10th and 11th here the last 2 years. T4 last year at Royal Port Rush. That was his best ever finish at the Open. So I'm going to keep it going with Wyndham Clark. He played well at the Travelers, despite the fact that you're playing the week after the U.S. Open. It's like, okay, you know, you're not going to have the tip top of your game, and he ends up rallying and finishing for fifth. So he's in a pretty good place right now with his game.
Wes, anybody you're avoiding, whether it be where their game is, whether it be the course, whether it be motivation, anybody that when you're looking at this field that you're avoiding going into the Scottish?
Yeah, John Rahm, maybe Mark, and Rahm certainly has capability on these courses, having played the DP World Tour before he came to the PGA Tour. But I do wonder where his frame of mind is, because only Tyrrell Hatton, who did, by the way, make the card this week at about 33-1, has really kind of shown up in the majors, I think, in a regular basis on the live side. And, you know, the schedule has just been so erratic for those guys with so many weeks off, and you know how they performed at the majors. Rahm has not performed well. DeChambeau has not performed well. Granted, this is not a major, but this is back competing with most of the big guns. So I'm curious to see how he plays this week and see if maybe you look at him for the Open next week. But I need to see a little bit more out of John Rahm. I think, with the exception of the PGA, he's been pretty disappointing in the big events this year.
Wes Reynolds, of course, co-host of the Long Shots podcast, does a fabulous job for us at VSiN.com. Our guest here is always Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds. Hey, I know you've got, let me give you the four names kind of in the middle of your card. Tyrrell Hatton, 34-1 at Circa. Kurt Kitayama, 52-1 at Circa. Nikolai Højgaard, 55-1 at Bet Rivers. And then Jake Knapp, a longer shot at 85-1 at Circa. Of those four guys, what's your strongest value, and maybe why one of those is worth a bit more of an investment?
Probably from a value standpoint, I think the longer price, that being Jake Knapp at 85-1. And this is more of a speculative play because we know he hasn't really done much over the last about 3 months because he missed two of them with that sprained left thumb. But he returned 3 weeks ago at the U.S. Open, did make the cut, and then was T55 at the Travelers. That course up at Red and Hartford doesn't really fit his game, where he's kind of a big hitter off the team, and that's a little bit more tight. But I think that those two starts might have knocked off the rust. And he was really consistent to start the year. If you look, he'd never finished worse than 11th in seven of his first eight events, had five top tens. And he's one of the longer hitters off the tee. Plus, he's a good putter, regardless of the green speed, regardless of the surface. This is going to be those fescue greens. And these are going to be slow greens, too, by the way. If you thought the greens at Shinnecock, that they slowed them down, these are going to be very slow. But that's typical over in Lynxian-style golf. But Jake Knapp, I'm going to take a gamble with him at 85-1. I think that this is a course that he should do well on. And if you look at the guys in recent years that have kind of been in contention at the Scottish Open, not just Rory, but Goddard, of course, won here last year, Nicolai Højgaard, Marco Penge, kind of the same thing, big and long off the tee. And Jake Knapp is certainly that. He's one of the longer hitters on the tour and, you know, can kind of spray it, but you can get away with spraying it a little bit here. The rough is manageable, even though it can be a little thick in certain spots. So, yeah, Jake Knapp, I was surprised to get him in a little bit of that spot. I think maybe it's the injury, so that's why you see the drift there. But he looks like he's knocked the rust off, so I think he's going to surprisingly go well this week.
Brother, we always appreciate you. I know you have a Jesper Svensson at 200-1 on Caesars as your final play in that card. And again, reiterating to everyone, VSiN.com, every Wednesday, Wes has these write-ups up, and so great to be able to do this with you. Buddy, excited to talk the Open with you next week. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk soon.
You bet, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
There he is, Wes. Co-host of the Long Shots podcast, Wes Reynolds, here on Wednesdays, as he always is. That's going to do it for us on the hump day edition of VSiN by the Books. Big one on tap tomorrow. We got a visit from the fearless leader of this program. Dave Ross going to chime in on not only the Scottish Open, got kind of a big UFC card he wants to talk about too. He will be joining us, nice, as will the maestro Mike Palm in his customary pose, pressing three and so much more. But up next, it's a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. Chris the Bear Felica going to get his World Cup plays. Paul Sporer on his MLB best bets. Todd Wishnev breaks down his early bets in the NFL. And I'm going to join at 10:15. Keep it locked here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.